Warning, I'm guessing these motherfuckers are gonna cuss.
Today's episode of The Scathing Atheist is brought to you by the new discreet website for funding international terrorism, Pay Palestine. Are you secretly sending ammunition and RPGs to starving people who need medicine and calling it humanitarian aid? Are international sanctions fucking up your lavish lifestyle? Do you really need an assload of fertilizer for legitimate purposes and don't want to wind up on some government watch list? Then try the only financial service provider less transparent than the Vatican Bank, Pay Palestine, Mullah's Moving Moolah. And now, The Scathing Atheist.
When you come down to things like axe murder or homosexuality, and you say, you know what, we're really going to promote it. We're going to encourage everybody in America to engage in this.
G'day, this is PK from Queensland, Australia. I'd like to apologise for Ken Ham, but I'm not going to. No backsies. Oh, and by the way, we did in fact evolve from filthy monkey men.
It's April 24th, and Hitler shared a rebirth day with Jesus last Sunday.
I'm No Illusions.
I'm Heath Enright, and from Oh Juicy, New York, New York.
And Freedom Dipped, Podunk, Georgia, this is The Scathing Atheist.
In this week's episode, Toys R Us and Fauschwitz toy stores inexplicably fill up with Jews not seeking toys.
The earth will be destroyed in a fiery catastrophe.
And Paul from Quranify Me will join us to earn that elusive fatwa.
But first, the diatribe. I got an email a while back from a listener named Howard that expounded on what he called igtheism. All right, so the concept breaks down like this. The question on the test reads, do you believe in God? Option A is yes, and that's a theist, of course. Option B is no, and that's an atheist. And for the purposes of this example, option C is insufficient information, and that's your, you know, like layman's definition, agnostic. Option D, the one for igtheist, would basically be, what the fuck are you talking about? The point is that I may know enough about your religion to reject it, but that doesn't mean I have the blindest clue exactly what I'm rejecting. What the hell does it even mean to believe in God? What is God? Define your terms. I asked a Christian to define God, and his first answer was, well, he's not an old man sitting on a cloud somewhere. And until then, I had no idea that the definition of God was interchangeable with the one for pancakes and butt lube, which are also not old men sitting on clouds somewhere. So let me share with you my latest igtheist moment. I was at an Ask an Atheist event last week, and of course we end up talking about morality. In particular, there's this Muslim girl asking why we don't rape and murder people if God isn't there to punish us for it. Now, obviously this is a disingenuous question, either that or she hated her life so much that she just knowingly walked into a room of murdering rapists. But during the discussion, I pointed out that in the Christian religion, there's nothing that forbids murderers and rapists from going to heaven. I pointed out that, in fact, one need not do a single decent thing in their entire life, provided they take Christ as their personal savior and sincerely ask to be forgiven. And then just to be an asshole, I turned to the Christians in the room and I said, right? And then they reluctantly had to agree with me, and it was awesome. So the Muslim girl's carrying on undeterred, and during the No True Scotsman portion of her act, she turns to the Christian girl and she says, to you, what does it mean to be a Christian? And apparently she expected a succinct answer. Now what she got, to the surprise of not one single atheist in the room, was neither succinct nor an answer. Instead, she launches into this whole it's not a religion, it's a relationship spiel, and she offers up this stuttering, disjointed, imperfect recollection of the thing her preacher was saying that day when she got all tingly. You know, there was a mountain in there somewhere, and God was on top of it, and we couldn't get to him, so he sent Jesus down to us to put together some kind of HOV bypass lane or something. And then there was some stuff about love, maybe a series of random family circus captions, and a Captain Planet monologue. Oh, and Jesus loves her. And if there'd been an even remotely polite way of saying it, I'd have asked her at the end of that, now, did that actually make sense to you, all of those words that you just used in the order that you just used them, did that represent a coherent thought in your mind? I mean, think about this for a second. If you ask the average Christian what it means to be Christian, not a single fucking one of them can explain it sensibly. And when you try to get detail out of them, they get frustrated and angry. What does it mean that Christ died for my sins? How does that even make sense? And doesn't that mean I should just sin like crazy so Jesus gets his money's worth? What do you mean God is love? Can I apply the reflexive property and make sweet God by the fire? And how about the transitive property? Does that also mean that God is a battlefield? And despite this universal inability to attach a meaningful definition to their proposal, they defend it passionately and then get pissed at you for not accepting this nebulous assertion. Imagine some guy out on the street with a petition to, you know, whatever, to ban animal testing or something. And you ask him, what is animal testing? And he goes, well, animal testing is, it's love, you know, it's like sort of, okay, imagine that there's this mountain. And yet right now, there are countless people vociferously defending a religion that they can't even explain to themselves. How the hell can you be passionate about something you can't even define?
They're talking about your Jesus.
We interrupt this broadcast to bring you a special news bulletin.
Joining me for headlines tonight is horrible role model Heath Enright. Heath, are you ready to inspire kids to drink and do drugs?
Remember, kids, drugs and alcohol make you funny and popular. So, you know, you got to say to yourself, it's a few hours of euphoria worth becoming funny and popular over. Yeah. Think it through.
Well done, sir. Well done. In our lead story tonight, Hobby Lobby's theological dictator is one step closer to actualizing his plan to forcibly Christianize the nation this week, now that Mustang, Oklahoma school board has voted to adopt the controversial "everyone should agree with my religion" course that he's trying to implement in American schools.
I remember that class. It was right between recess and lunch. I think we're going to have a problem again.
It was surveys.
Yeah, survey course. Yeah, it was a good course. Good course.
The course, as outlined, brilliantly blurs the line of church-state separation by promising to focus on the composition and history of the Bible. See? So we're not, you know, see? So Green insists that this is not about evangelism, because we all know how Southern Baptists love to forego evangelism in favor of academic and secular critiques of the Bible.
Right, and we already have a secular critique of the Bible called history class. It's an entire class about all the things that actually happened. But everything in the Bible is true, so I don't even know what these Christian parents are worried about. If it happened, it's got to be in the history books, right? So relax.
Should be, yeah. Now, a number of people disagree with Hobby Lobby President Steve Green's assertion that this course is not intended to indoctrinate children, including Hobby Lobby President Steve Green. Close to the source here. In a 2013 speech that he's desperately trying to distance himself from, Green said that his goals for the curriculum were to show that the Bible is true, to make the course mandatory, and to teach students that, quote, when we apply the Bible to our lives and all aspects of our life, whatever the hell that means, it has been good, end quote, which he probably didn't realize was a tacit approval of the Inquisition, the Crusades, and Justin Bieber's career.
There's a reason history class doesn't need a 4-year sister course called "No, Seriously, History is True." You know, not supposed to need that. And in Snape Shot First News, 6 people who turned out not to be evil sorcerers were killed when several hundred angry villagers in Papua New Guinea ambushed a neighboring town hoping to lynch some residents they believed to be evil sorcerers. 2 important lessons here. 1, faith continues to cause murderous posse activity. And 2, nobody likes magicians, even the ones that don't exist.
With the notable exception of friend of the show Eli Bosnick, whom everyone loves. I agree.
Torches and pitchforks are Alakazam's worst nightmare. The mind freak stops levitating and starts talking real fast in that situation. Sorcery? No. Look, there's a mirror under the table. And it's joined in the middle, and there's a spring around it. It pops it open when it's inside the tube. Yeah, I'm a complete fraud. I'm a complete fraud. This is all bullshit.
Oh, that reminds me, I haven't plugged my Send Yuri Geller to Papua New Guinea Kickstarter for a while, so remember, guys. And in separation of church and do-what-now news tonight, State Representative Thomas Carmody has pulled his controversial bill that sought to make the King James Bible the official state book of Louisiana. The bill faced strict opposition for not being inclusive, with Representative Stephen Ortego pointing out that the state book should really be inclusive to all Louisiana citizens who accept Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior, not just the ones that use the King James Version of the inerrant and unchanging Word of God, which was actually this dude's objection.
So, scores of Muslim families continue converging on Louisiana, but now, when they look up the state book, they're going to drop their Qurans for Esperanto Bibles. Yeah, this should work perfectly.
No, Carmody did eventually withdraw his divisive bill, though he was careful to point out that it had nothing to do with respecting secular boundaries or not thinking Jesus was the shit. Instead, he realized that Louisiana's 49th ranked state education system means most of his constituency can't read anyway.
49th in state education. The new ignorance-betraying chant of Louisiana should be penultimate, penultimate.
I'm sorry. The survey in question included D.C., so it's actually anti-penultimate. But they wouldn't know the difference.
No.
Anyway, we've now turned state fossils and state books into proxy wars for church-state separation, which means that if some Republican-ass bubble introduces a bill that somehow incorporates religion into the decision on the official state soil, I have bingo.
And in You Pray for Oxygen and I'll Breathe news, Oregon parents Travis and Winona Rossiter think medicine is for suckers. But more importantly, they're also terrible at praying. So their 12-year-old daughter died of treatable diabetes and complications related to negligent filicide. Sad.
Now, to be fair to the parents, yeah, it is sad, but their entire religion is based on how virtuous filicide is, you know?
That's kind of their thing. Their fundamentalist church teaches that prayer is the only kosher cure for anything. But during their manslaughter trial, which is a really nice way of saying murder your child trial, they don't want the jury to know their motive was Jesus. And for some reason, Judge Daniel Murphy has already ruled that past incidents of almost killing their daughter are irrelevant to this case, because this one is about actually succeeding in killing their daughter, which, you know, apples and oranges.
Yeah, apparently. I mean, and what the hell is, like, what is the secular excuse for disregarding your kid to death exactly? I mean,
should we also be allowed to do other equally helpful things like nothing? Since the success rates are exactly equal, you should also be allowed to sit there and just watch the child die while you do absolutely nothing, or play Nintendo, or throw handfuls of sugar pills at them. There must be a different placebo in diabetes research. Hopefully they figured that out.
No, it would be horrible if they, like, learned that the hard way, though, you know? Like, for years, these two diabetes researchers who thought they just had the Midas touch, you know, everything we test is performing better than the sugar pill. We're geniuses here.
We're beating the joke with a dead foot. So this type of absurdity shows one of the biggest problems with religion, in my opinion, as manifested in today's society. Yes, in some stupid technical sense, everyone has a right to their bullshit opinion, but you don't get to smear your bullshit on other people's faces. And you definitely don't get special privileges for being wrong extra confidently.
Right.
And you don't get to murder kids also.
Right, yeah, there's also that. And from the, yeah, it's probably bullshit, but we're reporting on it anyway file tonight, the award-noticing website blacknews.com is reporting that a new religion was recently founded in Atlanta that replaces tired old Jesus with equally musically talented Beyonce. Church founder Pauline Andrews insists that Beyonce is divine, adding, no, seriously.
She's divine, but she can't even beat Taylor Swift on award night? Come on.
Or write a song. But yeah, no. Other than that, omnipotent.
Right.
Pauline, who is either a dude or the victim of a poorly proofed pronoun, asks us to, quote, consider which is more real, an invisible spirit on high or, cool. And it really doesn't matter what he said after that, because anything, how is something going to sound stupid when you compare it to theistic beliefs? Anyway, the National Church of Bay is believed to be the first religion to crowdsource the writing of their holy book, which they've cleverlessly titled The Babel.
Wow. I love a good pun, but I don't love that. But, how to succeed in business without really trying, from J to Z.
There you go. I mean, he is the iota and the zeta. So based on what I know of Beyonce, I'm guessing that what happened here is that there was, like, a different god that actually created the universe, but her contract stipulated that she be listed as a co-creator. So that she could get all the credit at the Grammys without actually doing any of the work.
The EP on the Genesis album, yeah.
Yeah, exactly. Fucking talentless bitch. I'm sorry. You are a goddamn underwear model that kind of sings good. Be happy with that. Don't call yourself a fucking songwriter.
And finally tonight, from the Take It in the Asteroid file, Pat Robertson, chief astrophysicist for the 700 Club, announced
Dude, there's a lot of hats.
Yeah, a lot of hats. So Pat Robertson announced that an asteroid will hit Earth either next week, 1,000 years from now, or in 1995 when his book predicted it. And yeah. In case we lay people aren't clear on whether an enormous rock hitting Earth would be bad or good, Robertson explains, quote, I did the science on it. Once the asteroid hits the Earth's crust, all kinds of bad things happen, end quote. So, good. You know, science, bitches. Bad things happen.
It's a good thing we got him out there sciencing for us. Now, I mean, this is one of those stories that's funny but harmless, because all you've really got here is an evil old crazy guy with a vast fortune gleefully anticipating the destruction of the planet and the extinction of all life. So, you know, what could possibly go wrong?
Worst that happens. And as much as everyone would love to see Ben Affleck die in a nuclear explosion.
Hey, he was the bomb in Phantoms, yo.
Phantoms like a motherfucker, indeed. But I'd like to see Pat Robertson and Kirk Cameron get together for a nuclear explosion situation much, much more. Those guys need to make some, you know, big budget, end-of-the-world blockbusters together somehow. So let's give them some ideas.
I like where we're going.
30 seconds on the clock. Religious propaganda doomsday movie titles. Go.
All right. How about Crouching Tiger, Seven-Headed Dragon?
End Times at Ridgemont High.
Oh, nice. How about Jurapture Park 2? This time it's cataclysmic.
That's, Father Strangelove, or How I Learned to Stop Squirming and Love Jesus.
Ooh, how about Seth Rogen and Jonah Hill in This is the Unending Preachy Poorly Improvised Splooge Joke? Or
that's
wait, no,
their thing.
Yeah, they already made that one, my bad.
A few of those. What about Armageddon It On with a Priest?
Or, oh, I got one. Dooms Dazed and Confused.
Well done. Well
done. I wasn't sure if that was even going to come out right. Yeah.
All right. Guess who? Black Jesus is coming to dinner.
Awkward. Yeah. How about The 666th Sense? Remember, I love the surprise ending on that one. Remember where the seemingly talented director went on to never make anything worth watching again in his career? I never saw that coming.
Shocker. Deeply Impacted Bowels. And by the way, that's a full of shit joke, not a butt rape joke like it may sound. So I'm a lot classier than you thought there for a second.
For a second, anyway. How about The Mark of the Beastmaster?
Mark of the Beastmaster, well done. What about Apocalypse Now? Oh, okay, No, now. Apocalypse Now. Apocalypse Now.
Wait.
Damn it.
Well, actually, speaking of that, I guess we should wrap the headlines up here quick before Pat's asteroid destroys the Earth. So, Heath, thanks as always for joining me.
Holla, bitches.
And when we come back, we'll learn that other holy books suck, too. Since we started the Holy Babble segment back in episode 10, we've received a steady stream of feedback asking if we planned on tackling the Quran in the same fashion. Well, even though it doesn't seem like it when you're reading it, the Bible is finite, so we've long planned to take on the Quran once we retire the Holy Babble. The downside, of course, is that should happen around October of 2015. So if you don't want to wait that long, you have two choices. You could either read the book for yourself, or, and trust me, this one is better, you could check out a very awesome podcast I recently stumbled upon called Quranify Me. Joining me to talk a little bit more about option B is the host of Quranify Me, Paul. Welcome to The Scathing Atheist.
Thank you, Noah. I'm very, very glad to be here.
All right. So now, other than masochism, what prompted you to start reading the Quran?
I'm a glutton for punishment. I don't get, you know, the leather and the ball gags just can only go so far, and they're not really socially acceptable out in public. So,
well, neither is the Quran in most of the country, but yeah.
Very true. To be bluntly honest, I am a, you know, in full disclosure, I'm a recovering Catholic. I grew up in Catholicism. I grew up with all the guilt and the shame. And I would get in conversations with Muslims, but I learned I can't talk to these people. I can't debate with them. I can't exchange ideas with them like I can with Christians because I've never read their book.
Right.
And I take that stuff seriously. I you know, so I said, you know what? I'm going to own it. I'm going to strip all of that stuff I was taught growing up in the church, the Christian church, about Muslims, about Islam. I'm going to strip that all away. I'm not going to go read anything from any imam. I'm not going to go read Islamic apologetics. Hmm. I'm going to read the Quran, and I'm going to read it without those filters for myself.
I think one of the obvious challenges that you face doing a show where you do read the Quran is the fact that it's boring as ever-loving hell, the Quran, not your show. So tell our listeners some of the steps that you're taking to sort of combat that limitation.
Well, I realize my second episode, I apologize to everybody 100 times over in it because I tried to do 100 verses in one episode, and I realized it was absolutely tedious. It was horrible. It was not going to last if I was going to do that. So what I've done is I limit it to 50 verses at the most. I don't care where we are. That's where we're stopping. Even if it's at a good sexy right. point, we're stopping at 50. And what the listeners in the future will be able to enjoy are some very tantalizing and fun adventures with Allah. So we've got humor. We throw in the scripts. I've recently started playing around with software and learning how to introduce new characters.
Well, you also do a lot of cool stuff with like sound effects and music beds that is, you know, from one podcast to another, masochistic all by itself, but it really does spice up the reading as well, kind of keeps you into it. Now, like I said in the intro, the Quran's sort of the next on our list after the Bible. So is there anything that I should know before I read this thing? Any like Surgeon General's warnings that you want to give me?
If you want to maintain your sanity, don't do it. Do not do it. Don't pick that damn book up. Don't do that to any of us.
Right. I have no interest in maintaining my sanity, so I can scrap that one.
In a twisted sort of way, if you're interested in how to manipulate other human beings, the Quran is actually a wonderful 101 level lesson on how to do that. You can see the little tricks, very consistent tricks throughout the reading where it repeats certain things almost on a subliminal message where you could see where it would be of great utility to someone who would, I don't know, want to target uneducated, illiterate, desperate, poor people, you know, to do their bidding. So if you're poor, if you're desperate, I don't think you're illiterate. You speak pretty well, but you might want to guard yourself against that when you do pick it up, because those things are prominent throughout the book.
Yes, I am definitely poor and desperate, and as a demonstration of that, I'd like to remind everybody that they can donate to the show at patreon.com/scathingatheist. Now, what would you say is like the weirdest thing you've come across in the book so far?
Oh, wow. There's just so much out there. There's so much stupid. And literally, in one verse, Allah, through Gabriel, through Muhammad, through his scribes, tells us that you as Muslims, as believing Muslims, all you need is 100 warriors and you can overcome 1,000 enemies, 1,000 non-believers. And I'm not shitting you. The very next verse, it says, all you need amongst you is 100 believing warriors and you can overcome 200 enemies. So within one verse.
He's like, you know what? Let me rethink that. Wait, 1,000, that's an awful lot. Hold on. That's 10 for every. All right. So, I've heard a lot of adherents of the Islamic faith saying that this is the most beautifully written collection of words ever crafted by humankind, and you seem to be taking a different tack on that. Would you say that's an accurate description, most beautiful collection of words ever?
Yes. Let's if you're not a grammar Nazi, maybe. If you enjoy versus being cut off halfway through a sentence. If sentence structure isn't important to you when you, hey, it's all relative, Noah. Beauty is all relative. So.
All right. So it's kind of like Yoda's best literary achievement.
Exactly.
All right. So what about the religion of peace thing? Have you come across the parts where they talk about peace yet?
The Quran is very consistent and very explicit. The violence is, you won't be disappointed.
So it's a religion of peace in the sense that once they've converted everyone to their religion, it'll be peaceful.
Oh, yeah.
That makes sense.
Yeah, because submission equals peace.
Yeah. All right. So now here's the thing, and this is why I really applaud the effort that you're making here. I'm almost halfway through the Bible right now, which means that I've read almost half of the Bible more than most Christians. So it's really easy to intimidate a Christian in a debate with my knowledge of the Bible, even having not touched the New Testament yet. That doesn't really work with Muslims. They tend to really know their holy book. So now are you getting any feedback yet from Muslims who are telling you you're doing it wrong and you're interpreting it wrong and et cetera, et cetera?
Well, yeah. I mean, that is, you know, we ex-Christians, we pretty much know what our opposing forces have in their artillery. And the Muslims are no different. It just sounds different. You know, the first is, well, it doesn't matter because you're not reading it in the ancient Arabic.
Right.
Which, you know, the inconvenient fact for them is neither are they. They don't know it either.
Right, so, right.
I hate having to point that out. And then they'll go back to, well, you're not. You're applying your Western perspective. You're entitled male Western perspective. So you wouldn't be able to relate. The words are one thing. You're missing the context. That's another thing they let me know.
All right. So now I don't want this to be all negative about the Quran. So I was trying my best to come up with a question that could maybe have a positive answer. So here we go. Would you say that the Quran so far is better or worse than the Transformer movie franchise?
Megan Fox era or post Megan Fox era?
Oh, taken all together, both the Old and New Testament of the Transformers series.
God, it is hard to compete against Megan Fox. It really is. In all fairness to Megan Fox, because I know she's a huge fan of your show, sorry, Megan, but I've got to go with the Quran only because I have mailed Megan Fox 1,000 letters. I never get a reply from her, at least with the Quran in my satirical examination of it. I get plenty of attention from people. So.
They email back, do they?
They email back. Megan Fox doesn't, but they do.
Awesome. All right. Well, thanks for joining us today, Paul. And if you want to check out the podcast, you can find them on iTunes, on Stitcher. You can go to quranifyme.com. It's a little hard to find, so the spelling there, Quranifyme. Or you can just check the show notes for this episode. We'll have links to all of that. And if you want to support his show, he's on Patreon and could use a bit of an equipment upgrade.
All right. Thanks, Noah.
Before we power down the generators tonight, I wanted to give you a quick reminder that I'll be on Atheist Hangouts with David, a.k.a. Gamma Atheist, on Saturday at 10 p.m. Eastern Time. It's a live video chat. We'll be talking tarot and other such New Agey nonsense. If you missed the live event, fear not, as archives will be available, and we'll be sharing links to them on all our various social media repositories. Also wanted to let you know that I had to cut out a big chunk of the interview this week, but if you wanted to hear the full version, you can find it under the Extras tab on our website, which, by the way, is full of great extended interviews, if you haven't checked it out already, and is, in fact, full of great extended interviews, even if you have checked it out already. I need to thank Heath, as always, for being such a twisted fuck in such an endearing way. I need to thank Lucinda for everything she does both on and off the mic. I need to thank PK for providing this week's installment of the Ken Ham blame-shifting Farnsworth quote wars. And, of course, I need to thank Paul for giving us some of his time this week. If you want to learn more about his show, you'll find links to it on the show notes for this episode. But most of all, of course, we need to thank this week's most amiable atheists, Philip, Tim, Other Philip, Javier, Shelby, Lindsay, Adam, Reva, Eric, Josh, Richard, Oliver, Steve, Lise, Other Philip, D.L., Michael, and Conrad. Philip, Tim, and Other Philip, whose testicles have cleared the debris from their orbital path. Javier, Shelby, and Lindsay, who have enough gravitas to read a menu poignantly. Adam, Reva, and Eric, whose ninjutsu is considered a nuclear deterrent. Josh, Richard, and Oliver, who would be more likely to call their doctors if their erections lasted less than 4 hours. Steve, Lise, and Other Philip, who are so rich they hired a maid to clean up after their maid. And D.L., Michael, and Conrad, who are so sexy pastors exclude them by name when they say homosexual attraction is a sin. These 18 enviable epitomes of excellence have earned encomiastic exaltation this week by giving us money and or valuable free advertising space. Not everybody has the courage to give us money and or valuable free advertising space, but if you think you share Philip, Tim, Other Philip, Javier, Shelby, Lindsay, Adam, Reva, Eric, Josh, Richard, Oliver, Steve, Lise, Other Philip, D.L., Michael, and Conrad's fearless tenacity, you can make a per-episode donation at patreon.com/scathingatheist, or you can make a one-time donation by clicking on the donate button on the right side of our homepage at scathingatheist.com. And remember, our Patreon donors get longer shows earlier and extra free shit, so there's plenty of good reasons to make a recurring donation other than just keeping Heath liquored up. And if you want to support our efforts but donating money inflames your acne, you can also help us by leaving us a 5-star review on iTunes, which depressingly few people have done lately. And you can also follow us on Twitter, like us on Facebook, circle us on that Google one that nobody uses, and subscribe to us on YouTube. If you have questions, comments, or death threats, you'll find all the contact info on the contact page at scathingatheist.com. All the music used in this episode was written and performed by yours truly, and yes, I did have my permission. Controversial bill that was State Representative I'm getting smaller and smaller portions there.